Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of 10 Minutes With, a podcast brought to you by the PHA Group, where each week we meet with a different entrepreneur or CEO to find out about their journey. And today we are delighted to be joined by Alex Robson, CEO of West End Drinks. Alex, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Nick.
So as always with 10 Minutes With, we're going to start off with our first five questions. Each of them we've got 30 seconds answer. So to start with, Alex, describe what you do in one sentence.
I make gin.
It's a great start, and lots of people have already captivated by that, so let's go into it. What is the one thing people will be surprised to know about your business?
It's male dominated.
Okay. We'll come back to that.
And you have to have a sense of humour.
When did you know you had made it?
I don't look at life that way. I don't think anybody's... I don't like the term.
Who is the one person to have helped you most on your journey?
Myself.
And the final question of the first five is, what do you predict will change in your industry in the next 6 months?
The next 6 months? Well, I mean, you could look at the usuals, which is cocktail serves. I think the industry is quite crowded at the minute, so we might see a few sort of maybe well-known brands maybe not quite making it. I don't know. It's at the moment, it's a very interesting industry to be in because we've seen huge growth, and that is normally followed by a period of consolidation, then a bit of a shakeout.
Okay. Well,
economically speaking.
For those people who don't know, West End Drinks, because you're most famous for your lovely King of Soho gin, aren't you?
We are indeed.
So can you just tell all of our listeners a little bit about King of Soho gin? Where did the idea first come from?
Well, the idea, my business partner is Howard Raymond, the son of Paul Raymond, the original King of Soho. And we were sitting in a bar having a drink one day and we thought, why don't we make our own gin?
Wow. And why gin then?
Because at the time we were drinking a martini.
Okay.
So it was a natural conclusion. It was before the gin boom had begun, before the train had left the station. And we just happened to be drinking a gin martini and just thought, well, why not?
And there's a lovely link there with Howard and that relationship and the whole Soho local. Was that really, really important to you as part of the launch of this drink?
Yeah, it was very important because it wasn't long after the death of his father, Paul Raymond, mm-hmm. and we just wanted to do something to celebrate his life and the vibrant area of Soho that he'd helped create.
That's amazing. And so tell us a bit about the gin, because it's a London dry gin, so it's a fairly normal gin, but how is it different to other brands that people might have heard of?
Well, it is a London dry gin, but we also have a new line, which is a very orange gin, which is a pink gin.
Oh, wow.
Which is very much on trend and part of a new wave looking for flavoured gins, something a little bit, well, I wouldn't say more interesting, but a little bit different from the norm, from the traditional London dry.
And because it just seems like the industry at the moment has really taken off with so many Brits, so many Londoners drinking gin. We've seen the rise of people like Fever Tree and the tonics. Just as someone who's in the midst of it, just tell us about the gin industry in the UK at the moment. It must be a fascinating place to work.
Well, as I said before, it is a fascinating place. We've had a couple of years of very rapid growth. Last year, 66 million bottles of gin were sold in the UK,
wow.
Which, depending on how you serve your gin, is certainly over a billion, would equate to a billion gin and tonics.
Wow.
So that just puts some context on it. But as I was saying, you know, it's a very busy market. A lot of people are entering the market. I think last year we were seeing new gin brands every week. So it's vibrant, it's busy, but the question is, you know, can the consumer demand for gin continue to support that level of growth?
What would people feel differently about your gin versus another brand?
Well, I mean, we launched the London Dry, which was the line, you know, the first product that mm-hmm. you mentioned before. We launched that just over 5 years ago,
mm-hmm.
and so it's a very smooth gin. It's quadruple distilled. It has no less than 12 botanicals in it. But saying that, it is very much London Dry led, true to its London Dry heritage, but it is citrus led, which is a good thing because when we launched, there weren't many citrus led gins. So we were very much at the forefront and we've spent our time building the gins. We built our market slowly and we've created brand loyalty. And we're more than a gin. We're that Soho spirit, and we've embodied that in the bottle. It's a beautiful bottle. It's standout blue. It's got a vibrant Spirit of Soho character on it. He's in a beautiful red velvet coat. You know, a lot of time and love went into that design. There's a lot of creativity involved. So we're representing this, as I said, the spirit of Soho. You know, the people in Soho. You know, what you would expect to find in Soho on a good night out. And certainly with the new pink gin, whilst that is responding to, we're innovating, responding to changes in the market and what people are looking for, it's also, you know, it's adding to the fun of the brand.
And often how much gin we've had as well.
Often how much gin you've had, that helps.
And so King's Soho is doing incredibly well, being sold across national supermarkets. So people out there, I'm sure, will have going and picking up a bottle now. Okay. So how do you, Alex, the CEO, how do you recommend that one is to drink a King of Soho gin?
Well, I think if you're buying a King of Soho and you're taking it home, I would suggest you get your glass of choice. Now, we don't have any rules. We're not about rules. We're about breaking rules. So you could have it in a nice tumbler or crystal glass tumbler, or you can have it in a big Copa glass. It's whatever gives you pleasure, whatever meets your needs, your requirements. I would suggest you get your glass. Stack a bit, put a little bit of ice in there. I like no more than 3 cubes myself, but I'm a bit finickety about that. If it's the London Dry, slice of pink grapefruit, classic Indian tonic water. There are quite a few out there, or maybe a cardamom tonic goes very nicely with that. You know, people say it's normally a third to two-thirds gin to tonic. I tend to do more half and half. So again, it's very much personal preference.
It's down to taste.
Yeah, and if you're talking about the London Dry, you put a slice of pink grapefruit. If you're going for the Variorum, you could maybe go for a Mediterranean tonic, something a little bit different on the tonic front, cucumber tonic. There's some very good cucumber tonics out there, and it works very well with that, the strawberry, pink strawberry gin. And with that, I would garnish with, if you're going for cucumber, I'd garnish with a slice of cucumber, or I would garnish with a strawberry.
Two very quick things before our last five questions.
Okay.
I understand that you are working on international distribution of King of Soho as well. Can you tell us anything about that?
Well, we are distributed internationally. You can find us in Japan. You can find us in Russia. We went out there at the beginning of last year. You can find us across Europe, Portugal, Italy, Spain. Spain was always
Is that being easy to distribute internationally? People craving the Soho spirit in other countries?
What I've found is that it's because of the way the world is now, with the internet, with communications, people hear about you and they get in touch because they want to try your product.
Sure.
You know, you see it in, you know, bars in strange islands, and, you know, in sort of remote islands, and you think, well, how have they got it? Well, 9 times out of 10, they've ordered it from Amazon.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't control where your product goes now.
You mentioned at the end of the first five questions about that it's a very male-dominated industry. Can you just tell us a little bit about that?
I did, and I probably didn't answer that question correctly, did I? I was a bit tongue-in-cheek. Actually, no, I would say that what is surprising, if I actually go back to that question, because I was being a little bit sarcastic there. If I go back to that question, I think what is surprising is how many women there actually are in the spirits industry.
Great.
Actually at the forefront, leading the innovation. You know, there are distillers attached to larger brands who I will not mention. But, you know, there's a lot of women out there, you know, leading female mixologists. There's a couple of brands that are, you know, like myself, have been run by women.
Yep.
So it's not, I think what is surprising is it is not a male-dominated industry.
All right, we'll come on to our last five questions.
Okay.
Starting with Alex. How many hours sleep do you get per night?
6.
How do you manage your time?
Not very well.
I love the honesty. Well, let's keep being honest with this next question, shall
we?
Okay. Describe your biggest mistake.
I don't look at life in that way, I'm afraid. I look at life as a wonderful series of experiences.
What is your one piece of advice for other entrepreneurs?
Be focused, determined, and do not allow anybody to knock you off your path or disturb your stride.
And the very final question is, Alex, what is your party trick?
I have gin.
Which helps any party
trick.
Oh,
yeah.
Alex, thank you so much for joining us for an episode of 10 Minutes With, a podcast supported by the PHA Group.